It's daf is daf zayin, so we got to five lines down on zayin and aleph. The Gemara is talking about the different psukim of shana v'shana than shenis. It's about reading Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, reading the Megillah. So we had that the Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel both held you read in Adar Sheni, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi felt you read in Adar Rishon. So the Gemara wants to know now, again, five lines down, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, hi, hashenis, my avdile. What does he do with the word hashenis? Because he doesn't hold you read in Adar Sheni. So the Gemara says, mi barile, it's needed lichad Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, damar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, b'tchila kavaua b'shushan, uvasof b'chol ha'olam kulo. The word shenis in the pasuk just describing historically how they established Purim. So initially, the first year Purim, they set up only in Shushan, only that they should celebrate this Yantav Purim. But Levasof, in the end, the second level of the Takana, they established that the entire world, Jews throughout the world, should celebrate Purim. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, another statement in his name, that's why he comes here, Shalach Alehem Esther L'Chachamim. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim requesting, Kavuni L'Doros, please establish for me, please write my story of Megillas Esther, put it as part of Tanakh. So the Shalach Ule, they sent back to her, Kina At Me'oreres Aleinu L'Bein Ha'umos. So if you're going to have the story of Tanakh written in the story of Esther written in Tanakh, it's going to create a tremendous amount of jealousy amongst the Goyim that they're going to say the Jews are celebrating over their defeat of us, and we don't want to create kina amongst the Umas Ha'olam. So Esther said, Shalach Alehem, she sends back to them, Kvar Ksuva Ani Al Divrei Yamim. It's too late. I already described it in Divrei Yamim, L'malchei Madai Pras. It's already a description of what happened there. Now, it's not elaborated on, but still a reference to what happened in the story of Purim. So that's not a good time anymore. Let's incorporate Megillas Esther into the Sifrei Tanakh. Gemara now says, Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva. These four were oftentimes put together as a group. And Masi Bakula Seder Moed, but throughout Seder Moed, Kol Kiyazuga, this group of Chachamim, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan Umayel Rabbi Yonasan, it would be replaced. Rabbi Yonasan was the one who was mentioned with these four in Seder Moed. So what do they say? Shalchulam, they said as follows. Shalchulam Esther l'chachamim. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim. Kasvuni l'doris. Write my story l'doris. Write my story in Tanakh. And Shalchulam, they sent back there. Halokasafti l'chashlishin. The pasuk says only three times. You're only allowed to mention, it's a pasuk in Mishle. You can only write the story of Amalek three times. Shalishim v'lo rivam. You can't write it four times. So the apparent, we'll see in a moment where the three times that Amalek's mentioned, but you can't write a fourth time in Megillas Esther. Ad Shematzulo, until they found another pasuk which allowed them to write a fourth time of Amalek and record the story of Megillas Esther. So what did they find? Ad Shematzulo Mikra Kasev Batorah. They found the pasuk that appears in Shemos. It says, Kasev Zos Zichron B'Sefer. Write this memory in the Sefer. So what do these words mean? Kasev Zos Masha Kasev Kan. Write the story, what's written here, Uva Mishnah Torah. Right, the story of Amalek appears in two places in the Chumash. What are the two parshas? Shalach. Gezeitzah, right, these two. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the Svarim talk about how Amalek always attacks the end, where the Pasuk says, Vayizanev, Zanav, the end. But that's why it also appears also at the end of both parshas, at the end, the Zanav. So when it says, Kasav Zos, write it in here, it's referring to both times in the Chumash. That's all from one limud. Then when the Pasuk says, Zichron, Masher Kasav B'Nevim, mention in Nevim, the story of Shaul, that's the second time you mention Amalek. And B'Sefer is the third Pasuk with Joshua's Masher Kasav B'Megillah, you could write it in Megillah. So yes, there are three times that are mentioned in Megillas Esther, the fourth, but they're lumping together Parshas B'Shalach and Parshas Kisetzeh as one. That's one mention, even though it's two different times. That's considered one in Chumash, there's one in Tanakh, there's one in Nevi'im, and then there's one in Ksuvim. Those are three times it's mentioned, including Megillas Esther. This was the pasuk that they found. So then the Gemara says, in fact, it's really a machlokas tanaim, whether or not Megillas Esther should have been included. It's a katanai. Kasav Zos, Ma Shekasav Kan. Write in here what's written in Parshas B'Shalach only, not mentioning Kisetze. The word Zichron means Masha Kasav B'Mishnah Torah, that which appears in Parshas Kisetze. And B'Sefer, Masha Kasav B'Nevim, Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, there is no available word to include Megillas Esther. So Rabbi Yeshua thinks Megillas Esther shouldn't have been written down. Rabbi Lazar HaModai Omer, no. Kasev Zos means Masha Kasev Kan of Mishna Torah. What's written here and Mishna Torah is lumped together in one drasha. Zichron is Masha Kasev B'Nevim and B'Sefer Masha Kasev B'Megillah. So the third one, according to Rabbi Elazar, is including Megillas Esther. So there's two very important machlokism that come out of this Gemara here. One is whether or not Megillas Esther should have been included or not. And number two is, this is more subtle, whether Mishna Torah is grouped together with the rest of Chumash. Is Mishna Torah viewed as the fifth Sefer, or is it really a completely separate Sefer? So it comes out of the number of nafkaminas, but one interesting place that comes to mind is the Tosas in Gittin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, right in the beginning. It talks about Get. Let me just finish this point, I'll ask you a question. It talks about Get, and the Get, the Tosas says, Get's the gematria of what? What's the gematria of Get? 12, because there are 12 lines on a Get. What's the basis of 12 lines? So they speak about somehow, without getting to why, a Get is supposed to be modeled after the Sefer Torah to a certain extent, and there are 12 spaces in between all the different parshios. The different svarim, I should say. How do you get the different spaces? So two days in Tosas. One day is because between each of the parshas, there's really four. Between the svarim, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bemidbar, Dvarim, there are five svarim, and that means there are four spaces. So each space really has three extra lines, open lines. 3 times 4 equals 12. But the other opinion, Tosas, says, no, we don't include Mishna Torah. That's not part of the calculation. That's not part of the Sefer Torah. We take into account the first four parshios, which each have three spaces, and he thinks that there are four extra lines. So it's four extra lines times those three spaces. That's 12. So the two days in Tosas seem to be arguing whether or not Mishna Torah is part of the rest of the Chumash, or it's something independent, similar to what the Gemara here is arguing, whether or not Mishna Torah is part of that same limud or not.
So what about
Okay. Fine. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda, we last a few narrow lines here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Esther eina metame es hayadayim. Esther, if a person touches Esther, the Megillas Esther, that is, then the person will not be metame yadayim. What's tumas yadayim referring to here? So Gemara, Rashi refers to the Gemara in Brachos, that they were gozer when a person who touches this different svarm of Sifrei Kodesh, so their hands would be tamei if they were to touch chuma. So you have to wash your hands after touching the Sifrei Kodesh. If I touch a Sefer Torah or any of the books in the Nevi'im, I have to wash my hands before touching Chuma. And if I don't, then the Chuma is going to be Tamei. Now that's a Gzeira Dirabanan. So was Megillas Esther included in that same Gzeira, whereby if I touch the cloth of Megillas Esther, will my hands become Tamei? Now there's another correlated din. Are you allowed to touch the cloth of Megillas Esther? Esther, you're allowed to touch a cloth. We know by Sefer Torah we're taught not to. Are you allowed to touch a cloth of mezuzah? Are you allowed to touch a cloth of a Megillas Esther? The din is by mezuzah you shouldn't touch it because there's a real kedusha to it, and you should wash your hands if you need to touch a cloth of mezuzah. Ramah brings down a two days and he says one should be machmir to wash the hands prior to touching the Megillas Esther. So if a person has their own personal Megillas Esther, so before using it, you should really wash your hands before you touch it. But anyway, so we're talking about after touching Megillas Esther, will be metame your hands in regards to Truma. So according to Shmuel, he says, Esther eino metame es yadayim. It does not contaminate the hands. So the Gemara says, Lememer, is this to suggest? Disavar Shmuel Esther la beruach hakodesh nemra? If you're saying it's not metame yadayim, that means it's not really, not Sifrei Kodesh, which means then it's not a ruach hakodesh. It wasn't said in ruach hakodesh. It was just a story that she wrote. But there's no real ruach hakodesh. Because had it been ruach hakodesh, that means it would be a Sefer Kodesh, and then it means it would be metame es hayadayim. So the Gemara says, but how could that be? We have another statement of Hamar Shmuel. Shmuel himself says that Esther, Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. And we're going to see later on how Shmuel knows it was Beruach HaKodesh. So it was Beruach HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, Nemra Lekros Velo Nemra Lichtov. It was said with Beruach HaKodesh to tell the story over, but it never was said over to be written down as a ksav. So the story was Beruach HaKodesh. Everything that happened and unfolded was Beruach HaKodesh, but there's never a din to do a ksiva. So the fact that they wrote it down is not going to be considered a Sifrei Kodesh and won't be metame es yadayim. Now Tosis points out from this Gemara, it seems from this line that one could say Megillas Esther al peh, you could say it by heart, because there's no din a ksiva. So you could say it al peh. But he refers to the Mishnah later on, we'll get to in Daf Yud Zayin, that says you're not yotze if you read the Megillah al peh. So he deals with this Tosas now. I'm not going to go through it right now, but he deals with that question. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Meisive. Rabbi Meir Omer, Koheles Einu Matames Yadayim. Koheles was just written by Shlom HaMelech, and it's not Matames Yadayim. It was his own personal stuff, own ideas, and it's not Matames Yadayim. But there's a machlokas regards to Shir Hashirim, whether or not that was Ruach HaKodesh, and whether that would be Matames Yadayim. Comes along Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shir Hashirim Matames Yadayim. No, everybody agrees Shir Hashirim is Matames Yadayim. There's only machlokas regarding Koheles, whether that is or it's not. Rabbi Shimon Omer Koheles Mekule Beis Shammai Umechuri Beis Hillel. There's actually machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai whether or not it's Matame Yadayim. Aval, when the guards are Rus, Veshia Shirim, VeEster, they are Matame Es Hayadayim. Fine. So we see there's a machlokas here about whether it's Matame Es Hayadayim. So what's the Shaila here? One second. I forgot the Shaila here. One said the Gemara answers. Let's go work backwards. Gemara answers here that who damar Rabbi Yeshua? He holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Yeshua above felt that Megillas Esther was not given over, was not nitan lichtov, and therefore it's not metames yadayim. I guess the point is since we only mention here in this brisa Esther, that's metames yadayim. Obviously, he must hold.
So if a Tana or Rabbi Shimon in this brisa says the kuli alma Esther is part of Sifrei Kodesh. How could Shmuel and Amora have argued?
So there's a question on Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Eina Matami Sadayim, but this Bryce only presents it as one day that everybody agrees that Esther is Matami Sadayim. So the answer is that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yeshua that there was never a heter to write down Megillas Esther, in which case Megillas Esther is not Matami Sadayim. That's how Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Then the Gemara brings a Bryce to Tani, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Omer Koheles. Ain't a matames yadayim. Why is it not matames yadayim? Mipnei shechachmaso sheshlomo. This is Shlomo's own wisdom that he wrote down, but there wasn't any ruach hakodesh. So Amrulos. So they say back to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. V'chi zubelvad Amar. This is all he said. This is his own chachma. But look, far nemar. Doesn't it say vaydaber shloshes alfin mashal? All these mashalim he said over v'omer, and then it says al tosiv al dvarav. Don't say any more. So what does it mean? Don't say any more. So Rashi points out here. That look at Rashi says Mikra who was safer. No, let's read one more line around in the Gemara. Sorry. Now, my Omer was mean Va'omer. Why do you need a second pasuk? V'chitem, if you're going to say Meimer Tuva Amar, he said a lot of things. The by lo echtav, he could have decided to write it down or decided not to write it down. So Tashma Atosav Advarv. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to stop indicates that he agreed with everything he said beforehand. Everything before him was said of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now Hashem's saying, don't add any more. Now the Ruach HaKodesh is stopping, which tells us that in fact it was written, the Ruach HaKodesh. So they argued in Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Again, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh felt that it was all, it's Chachmaso and Zametames Yadayim, but Chacham argued and thought that it was Ruach HaKodesh, and seemingly it would be Metame Es HaYadayim. Now the Gemara quotes a long brisa. Now, how do we know that Megillas Esther, in fact, was written the Ruach HaKodesh? So the Gemara quotes a brisa Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemar. How does he know? And try to keep in mind, try to remember all the different sources, because later on the Gemara is going to question each of the sources independently. So how do we know that Esther is Ruach HaKodesh? So Rabbi Eliezer holds Shenemar Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman said in his heart. How do we know what he said? Belibo must be Ruach HaKodesh. Number two, Rabbi Akiva Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra Shenemar Vati Esther Nasas Chayin Beina Korea. She was pleasant in the eyes of everybody who saw her. How did they know that? How do we know what everybody else felt about Esther? Must be Ruach HaKodesh. Number three, Rabbi Meir suggests Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra Shenemar. It says Vayivoda Hadavar LeMordechai, and it was known to Mordechai. How was it known to Mordechai? How did they know it was known to Mordechai? So it must be, who told it to Mordechai? Mordechai that they were talking over must be, had Ruach HaKodesh. Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh, and the whole story was Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Yossi ben Dumaskis Omer, a fourth raya, that Esther was Ruach HaKodesh in Emra. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, there's also a Pasuk in Megillah, it says, Rebiza lo shalchez yadam. They did not extend their hand. They did not take any of the spoils of the war. Then the Pasuk, another point in it is Shmuel. Amr Shmuel, Shmuel says, Ihava Hasam, had I been there, Hava Mina Milsa Da'adifa Mikula, I would have said something better, a better proof from all the Tanaim. Remember, Shmuel is only an Amora. But he said, I would have said something better than all of them. Shenamar, it says, Kimu v'kiblu. They fulfilled and they received. As we all know, what does that mean? Kimu l'mala, masha kiblu l'mata. That in Shemayim, they accepted what was accepted down below. How do they know what happened up in Shemayim? Must be as Ruach HaKodesh. So in light of this, Amar Rava, Rava says, Mikulu, l'chulu isu pircha. All them, there's a question, there's a certain flaw in each of the proofs, lebar mi de Shmuel, except for Shmuel, the less they pircha, there is no flaw in Shmuel's pasuk. Let's see one by one. The Rabbi Eliezer, he is the one who used the pasuk, v'yomer haman bilibo. So Gemar Svarhu, d'lhava inish dechashe l'malcha kavase. Haman thought that Achashverosh wanted to reward someone, so he thought he was the one to be rewarded. Everyone knew that what a Baal Gaiva Haman was. You didn't have to have Ruach HaKodesh to know that Haman thought that he was the one who was going to receive that reward from Achashverosh. So that's not an indication that it was Ruach HaKodesh. That's simply a svar that everybody knew that Haman thought he was the best person in the kingdom. V'hai ki kamafish tuva. V'amar daiti denavshe kamar. Fine. The Rabbi Kiva, Dilma, Rabbi Kiva, who brought the proof of Vati Esther Nasus Chayin Beinah Koreha, that everybody liked her. How do you know? Dilma Kureb Elazar, Damer Milame Chikol Echad VeEchad Nidemasalo Kumaso, because the Rabbi Elazar holds that each nation thought, because she didn't look like any nation, so every nation saw, oh, she looked like she's from us. She looks like she's from us. So therefore, it was clear from everybody saying that. I guess everybody must have articulated that. It must have been clear that everyone liked her, and they were saying they're trying to claim rights to her as coming part of their nation. So that's not Ruach HaKodesh. That's just what they picked up from the various dialogues throughout. And Vahad Rabbi Meir, now Rabbi Meir brought the source from the Vaivada Hadavah Mordechai. Mordechai knew what they were talking about, so what's why? With big son of Teresh, how do they know this? Because Dilma Krebi Chir Ba'aba, how do he know? Damar big son of Teresh, Shnei Terashim Hayu. They're Turkish, I guess, and he knew their language. That's why not because he had Ruach HaKodesh, but he overheard them talking. And what about Had Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis? What about his raya? His proof was that they didn't take any of the spoils of war. So how did they know that? They were so certain that nobody took any of the spoils of fighting with Haman and everybody. So the Gemara says, Dilma Parsitka Shadr, maybe they sent out messengers throughout and they did an investigation and a research and found out that they didn't take any of the biza. But when it comes to Shmuel's Raya, Vaday Lesle Pircha. Shmuel says, Kimu v'kiblu, there is no kasha, rather, there is no flaw in his proof. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hainu Dami Incha, that's what people would say, Tava, good, is Chada Pilplasa Harifta, one sharp pepper is greater, Mimali Tzanakaria, better than a basket of gourds or something. So Shmuel was that sharp pepper. Rav Yosef Amar Mahalcha, he brought another raya that it wasn't that it was Ruach HaKodesh. Mehacha v'imei Purim ha'ela lo yavru mitoch ha'yudim. The days of Purim will never cease to be celebrated by the Yehudim. How did the Megillah know this to be the case? That Ruach HaKodesh, that they always continue to celebrate Purim. And finally, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak Omer Me'ahacha from the following pasuk, V'zicham lo yasuf mizaram, that the memory will not remove itself from the children. So these are all three very good sources that Ruach, that Esther is written the Ruach HaKodesh. Fine. Last three lines of the Amud. The Gemara says, Matanos Lev Yonim, Satani Rav Yosef Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, that's a pasuk in Megillah. What does that mean? Send two gifts to one person. Shtei Manos L'Ish Echa. There should be two items to one person. That person is fulfilling his chiv. Fine. And then Matanos Lev Yonim, what does that mean? Shtei Matanos, there's two Matanos, L'Shnei V'nei Adam. You need to give two gifts to two people. One gift per person. It has to be a total of two. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda nisa ishadalei l'Rabbi Yoshaya atama de igla tlasa v'garva de chamra. So one time Rabbi Yehuda sent a nice calf and a bottle of wine to fulfill the mitzvah. We'll find out which mitzvah in just a moment. So shalach lei, so they sent back to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi the following statement. Kayamta banu rabbeinu mishloach manos ish l're'ehu umatanos lev yonim. So there's a bunch of gersos you see around here. Some say he fulfilled Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lev Yonim. Some say he only filled the Shloach Manos. Some say he only fulfilled Matanos Lev Yonim. What's the svar of all these different points here? So some explain that the reason why he couldn't fill Shloach Manos, some interpret Manos means two food items, not a food and a drink. So since he sent a bottle of wine that doesn't qualify as a mana, so he only fulfilled Matanos Levyonim, he did not fulfill Shalach Manos. That's part of the conversation, and the Prima Gadon talks about it. We Paskin, you could fulfill it with a drink as well. But it is a discussion in the Poskim. We also see from here, according to the Gemara we have right in front of us, the Girsa in front of us, that you could fulfill two mitzvahs with one shlichus. I could kill two birds with one stone. You're sending one set of gifts, and the guy who you're sending shalach manos to happens to be an ani. Sounds like you're getting both matanos levyonim and shalach manos at the same time, which could be perhaps an issue of einos mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. You cannot bundle mitzvahs together, so that's a shalach as well to think about. Okay. Gemara now says, Rabba shadalei lemeri bar mar. So Rabba was once sending shalach manos to Mary, and Biyana Abaye, in the hand of Abaye, Abaye was a shliach. What did he send him? So Rabba sent a mole taska de kashva, which is a bag full of dates, umalakaska kimcha davshuna, and some dried out flour, which is apparently very tasty. So Amalei Abaye says, now Abaye is a shliach here. He says to Rabba, the mishalech, hashta amar Mary. Mary's going to say when he receives this, he says, I chakla malka leve dikula mitzavare lo nachis. So it's unclear, I had her Tai Chi's words exactly, but look at Rashi here. Rashi says, I chakla malka leve dikula mitzavare lo nachis. Hasal shaya rogil laholich bodenu ben kfar. Rabba used to be a regular townsman, and he used to send the regular basket like anybody else was sending. Umaychel behemto lo yorid ata mirosho. But kach atanasis melech, now that you become a king, v'rosh v'pumpadis, the Rosh Hashiva, v'ein chashalech lo ela dvarma b'tzim l'chol, you're sending regular stuff? You're Rosh Hashiva now. You need to send something chashiv. You have a lot of money now. You're a big person. Send more than that. So then, then he finds, okay, I'll change my shalach manos. So then he sent, iu male taska de zangvila, some very nice spices, and male kasa de piplasa aricha, and some long, sharp pieces of pepper. So now Amar Bai, who's the shliach here, says, Hashta Amar Mar, now he's going to say, Ana shadu lichuya vi shadu lichurfa. I sent Rabba some nice sweets, and he's sending me all these sharp things. Okay, so that was the end of the day. Amar Bai says, Kinafik mi be Mar, when he left, he sent a message from Mar, as he left from Rabba's house, and he went to bring the shalach manos. And Havas Savana, he was very full. Now, Kimata Lahasam, when he got over to Mary's house, so then, Krivile Shisin Tsai, he gave him 60 different plates of Shisin Mine Kedera, 60 different flavors of food. V'achla b'hu Shisin Pluga, u'bishula basa, he ate 60 different portions. And then, u'bishula basraisa, and then at the end, he had a last dessert of some sort, and have a karle, it's like keda, they call this a pot roast of some sort. Ubay lamecha tzay abasir, it was so good, he wanted to eat the plate, that's how good it was. And then, Amar Bai says, hainu dami inchi, that's what people say, so kaf and ani v'layada, a poor person's so hungry, he doesn't even realize how hungry he is, so that's how hungry he was, and he ate so much, even though he was full initially, he still had plenty of room to eat. Or inami, alternatively, ravchel basima shchiach. There's always more room for something sweet, for good food. Okay, fine. The Gemara now says, Abai bar oven, Rav Chinina bar Abin, mechalfis u'desai lahadade. They would actually take turns each year of swapping meals. Why would this be the case? So Rashi explains here, mechalfis u'desai ze ochel im ze bepurim shel shanazu, u'bishniya sorry, chaver imov, they'd switch each year. And I think they explained in the Mirishonim here that they're trying to accomplish both Shalach Manos that way and also Matanos Levyonim. They're both very poor. So they're shayach to receive Matanos Levyonim. So that's why they're doing it each way to get both mitzvahs. Okay, Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Mechayv Inish Lebesume Bepurya, person's chayv to drink on Purim to get drunk, Ad Delo Yada, until he doesn't know. Now, it's a very interesting language here, lebesume. Lebesume means to get drunk here. What does besume really mean? Besume also means, anyone know what else it means? Besame means like to smell. So there's a big in the connection between Purim and Chodesh Adar of the Koach HaReach, the Koach of smell. The Sefer Yetzirah writes that the different months correspond to different senses. So Chodesh Adar is connected to Koach HaReach, the sense of smell. Esther is Hadassah. Hadassim were the ones to the Dal, meaning that smell. Mordechai is hinted, and Mordor, one of the Besamim. So there's a lot of connections between smell and drinking. In fact, the Gemara says a few places, Reach v'chamra pikhin, a smell and wine makes a person smarter. So we see there's a correlation between smell and drinking. Again, there are a number of different Gemaras like this. So that's why Lashon L'Besume is being used, because it's indicating that connection, I think, between drinking and Besamim.
That's why a better interpretation might be intoxicated. You can become intoxicated from smell.
Okay, good.
You're supposed to be drunk.
All right, very good. So a person, anyways, has chayv inish l'besume b'puria ad lo yada, until a person doesn't know bein aru haman l'baruch Mordechai. A famous toast on the top. We won't go through that, but you have to know. You have to be so drunk where you don't know the difference between these two people. Rabba Rabbi Zera of the Sudas Purim behade hadade. They had a suda with each other. Famous story. Ibsum, they got drunk and come. Rabba shachted the Rabbi Zera, and he shachted the Rabbi Zera. He killed Rabbi Zera. Some say he didn't literally kill him. Pashas says he did kill him. The macha the next day, by rachme he davened v'achye, and he brought him back to life. And Lashana the next year, Amrlei nisim arav navid sudas purim ba'day hadade. Let's have a suda together again. And of course, Rabbi Zera says, Amrlei lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachish nisa. I'm not zoch every single moment for another nase in case you kill me. There's an interesting Karen Ora that appears in Maseches Nida. Maseches Nida talks about a series of very, very strange shilas, seeming that never ever happened. The woman gives birth to a baby that looks like different animals, and very strange questions that they're asking Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera is being asked these questions. And I think Rashi, the comment, says he's trying to get some humor within the world of Torah and Halacha. And Rabbi Zera was very machpin and no leitzanis at all. No leitzanis. He didn't like joking around at all. He's a very, very serious guy. So Karen Ora connected the Gemara in Dida to the Gemara here in Maseches Megillah. Rabbi had such a hard time spending Purim with Rabbi Zera because he was so uptight, didn't know how to relax a little bit. That's why come shachti Rabbi Zera. So that's the Karen Ora, and that's not me. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says for the Sudas Purim Sha'achla Balaila La Yotza, Yidei Chavasa. Person who eats Purim Sudat night time, you're not Yotze, the Chiv is to eat by Yom. How do we know my time? You may mishav simchaksiv. During the daytime is when you fulfill the mitzvah. So one time, Rav Ashi have a Yosef Kamei. He's one sitting down waiting, and Nogan is waiting. Lasser Rabbanan. The day was getting late, and no Rabbanan were coming. Samerlei. So he says, my time, Lasser Rabbanan. Where's all the Tamidim? I'm ready to give Shir. So he says, Dilma Tari de Besudas Purim. Maybe they're still eating the Suda. So Amalei, Rav Ashi says, V'lo hava efshel michla b'orsa. So were they not able to eat at nighttime? Why are they eating? I guess it must have been during the daytime. Couldn't they eat the night before to fulfill the Suda? So Amalei, so he says, Rav Ashi, lo shmile lemar. Do you never hear the statement that the Amar Rava Sudas Purim shach lelila lo yatsi de chavasa? They couldn't eat at nighttime. There's no mitzvah at nighttime. They're eating now during the daytime. That's why they're not coming to Shir Purim. So Amar Rav Hachi, we don't read the parentheses normally. I'm going to read it here though. It makes more sense. Amalei, did Amar Rav Hachi, Ravi really said this? Amalei, and he said it. Satana minei arban zimnun v'damilei kiman demarach bekisa. So he learned it 40 times. He said it over to himself 40 times over, and it was as if it was placed in his back pocket. He knew it very, very well after being chazering this din 40 times. Now the Rishonim talk about here, why did Rav Ashi not think this? Did he not know the pasuk of Yimei Mishta v'Simcha? So some say, of course he knew the pasuk. He thought there is also a mitzvah at nighttime as well. So in the end of the day, some hold that there is a mitzvah at nighttime. It's just not the ikur chiv. You also have to eat during the daytime, while others think, no, there's no inin and suda at all balayla. Now we assume there is no mitzvah balayla at all, but I think, I don't know, someone brings it down in the postgame as a chumra. I don't remember who. Okay. Shabruz at Ksas, yeah, balayla? Okay. Fine, very good. The Gemara now quote in the Mishnah says, Ein Bein, now we're into the Ein Bein, we're going to go through this for the next few days or so. Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh Bilvad. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is Ochel Nefesh, that on Yontif you are allowed to cook, and on Shabbos, of course, you are not allowed to cook. Now Rashi points out, obviously there are a lot more differences than that. So Rashi says, Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Lios Mutter L'Chachila B'Yom Tov Mashal S'B'Shabbos Avalinin Onchin Yesh Harbe. Regarding punishments, there are a lot of differences. Person violates Shabbos b'mezid, so if he's warned, then he gets a skila. And if he's not warned, but he's done b'mezid, he gets karis. As opposed to yontif, if it's only lav, it would be either malchus if it was done b'mezid, and if it was done b'shogeg, it would be a chatas. So there are many other differences, but we're talking about regarding malacha. The only difference is ochel nefesh. So then the Gemara says, "Halin in machshir ochal nefesh zev zev shavim." But with regards to preparing the food itself, the preparations of the knife and things like that, and the kalim, that's, everyone agrees, you cannot do both on Shabbos, nor can you do on Yontif. Only actual food cooking, but preparing the kalim would be also even on Yontif. In which case, the masnis and our mission has to be the low Rebbe Yehuda. Why, who's Rebbe Yehuda? The Tani, the Braita, tells us, Ein ben Yomtif la Shabbos el ochel nefesh, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Rebbe Yehuda Matir af machshirei ochel nefesh. He permits even preparing the kalim. That's against our Mishnah. My time at the Tanakhama, why did the Tanakhama say only ochel nefesh is permitted, but machshirei ochel nefesh is not? Because the pasuk says, Amakra, who, only it, ochel nefesh, who, velo machshir, but not the preparation of the kalim. Rabbi Yehuda says, but the pasuk also says, lachem, lachem lechol tzorcheichem, all your needs. That means even fixing your knife and fixing your pots, that's the chol tzorcheichem. So idach nami haksev lachem. So what does the Tanakhama do with the word lachem? Lachem means lachem for you, v'lo lo'ovdei kochavim. Lachem v'lo lo'klavim, for you and not for your guard, for the guy, and for you and not for the dog. Now this is a very important halacha out of this din here, because it's very problematic to have a guy over on your yontif meal, and Shabbos one would be allowed to. Another issue whether one should or not, that's a whole other discussion, but one's allowed to have goyim over at a Shabbos suda, because you're not cooking anyways. But on Yontif, where you're cooking, you might cook, you might be marbe b'shurim for the benefit, he has what to eat, that would be a violation of an isser, because lachem below l'ovdei kochavim. So that's what the Tanakhama does with the word lachem, to exclude ovdei kochavim. Now, idach nami haksiv hu, so it doesn't say who, what does Rabbi Huda do with the word who? Doesn't who limit this, but something else not? What does Rabbi Huda do with who? Hu ksiv lachem. So the Gemara says it's the difference between kan b'machshirin she'ef shal lasos me'erev yomtiv, kan b'machshirin she'ef shal lasos me'erev yomtiv. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda only allowed you to do machshir ochel nefesh, to fix the knife in a pot, if you couldn't have done this erev yomtiv. If the knife just broke today, let's say, and you need to sharpen it today, you couldn't have done it yesterday, that's what he permits. But if something that could have been done erev yomtiv, and you didn't for whatever reason, that's where it's only this you could do, but something that could have been prepared before and you didn't do, that would be aser. That type of machshir ochel nefesh, that would be aser. Now there's a very important tosis also, halach ha'maisa here. He writes on the top here, "Kan v'machshirin she'ef shal lasos me'erev yomtiv." If it's a machshir ochel nefesh that could not have been prepared before yomtiv, Rabbi Yehuda says it's allowed to be done on yomtiv itself. Mashma, it sounds like from this, midilo pligi ela b'machshirim. The fact that we only distinguish within the preparing of the kalim, michlal du guf ha'maichel, when you're actually making food. Shari lasos b'yomtuf, you can make any food on yomtuf, afa gav de'efshir lasos me'erev yomtuf. Let's say I could make a steak, let's say. And it'll be just as good if I make it erev yomtuf as it will be if I make it on yomtuf itself. So do I have to now make it erev yomtuf and to avoid mlach on yomtuf? Or no, there's no distinction. Even though it's going to be just as good yesterday as it will be today, I have every right to cook it on yomtuf itself. The Tosus says, I could cook anything I want on Yontif, even though I could have cooked it yesterday. That's what Tosus concludes. Now, Tosus later on and others say, no, not true. If it's something that could be just as good yesterday if I cooked it, I should get all the melacha done erev Yontif if it's possible. It's only something that's so good when it's fresh, a freshly baked challah or cake or something, or a fresh steak off the grill, those types of things, which are only really better when they're fresh, that can be done on Yomtiv. But if it's not going to be, and you can, but if it's something that will be remain good from erev Yomtiv, that you should really make before him. I once heard from a Rav that he thinks nowadays there is no heter for ochel nefesh, because since we have refrigerators, nothing go bad anymore, so everything should be cooked erev Yontif. I don't think that's the normative psak, but it's an idea out there.
Not bad, but it's better. It's definitely better.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever you make
yeah,
is better.
For sure. So that's part of the conversation. I'm not passing here, but that's part of the conversation about things that are better before versus not. Okay. Gemara now says, the last mission on the page here, Ein bein Shabbos liyom ha-kipurim el shezeh zidoni b'dei adam v'zeh zidoni b'karis. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that Shabbos, the Chiyav Misa, is Bidei Adam, which is Skila, and Yom Kippur is Bidei Shemaim, which is Karis. So the Gemara now says, Halin in Tashlumim Zev Zeh Shavim. With regards to Tashlumim, they are both equal. What does Tashlumim mean? So the law is with something called Kamli B'dirabi Minei. The person violates an Avera, and there's two punishments, so you only get one punishment at a time. So let's just assume a simple case of Misa and Mamon. A person, let's say, where the Gemara talks about in Ksubas, a person shoots an arrow, and he kills a guy, but in doing so, he rips the guy's shirt as well. So now he owes the guy, or at least the family, money now for the ripped shirt. But he also killed the guy. So since it's Misa and Tashlumim, the Misa is going to override the Tashlumim. You don't pay any money, he just gets a death penalty for murder. Now there's a discussion they showed him, just as an aside, there's a Chakira, when the guy does get the Misa, is that assuming that the Mamon was included in that Misa, it's subsumed in that one Onesh, everything's really included there, that's the Ramban in the beginning of Maseches Makos, that Beis, or we assume, no, he's completely apart from the Mamon. When the guy gets Misa, he doesn't get the Mamon at all. If somehow he wouldn't get the Misa, so then he'd be completely apart from paying Tashlumim. So that's a Chakira by Kimle, Bibi the Rabbi Mine. If you assume that really is a chiv, a mamon, and you're getting it when you get the misa, so if the guy doesn't get a misa for whatever reason, so then the chiv mamon still exists. It's a discussion we showed him about. All right, we'll leave it at that. So the Gemara says further now. So Mani Masi said, who authored the Mishnah? It must have been Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. How? Who? Why him? The Sanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, Hayao says Yom Kippurim kishabes. He equated Shabbos Yom Kippur regarding Tashlumim for Kimlei b'di Rabbi Minei. How do we know? This Mas Shabbos Mischai b'Nafsho u'Pater b'Tashlumim. Af Yom Kippurim it's Mischai b'Nafsho Pater b'Tashlumim. Right, very simple equation. Mark quotes a Mishnah. I think it appears in Maseches Makos. Tanan the Mishnah tells us that Tanan Hasam Kol Chayv Krisos Shelaku Niftiru Midi Kris Hasam. If a person is Chayv Karis and he gets lucky in having Malkos, then he actually gets released from the Chi of Karis. So the Gemara says, Shinamar, how do you know this to be the case? Gemara quotes the Pasuk says, V'nik l'achicha le'necha. And if he gets Malkos, so what does that mean? Kevin Shalaka, Hareu Kachicha, Divrei Rabbi Hanania ben Gamliel. If a guy gets Malkos, even though he wasn't supposed to get Malkos, he was supposed to get Karis instead, he becomes Achicha, he gets completely released from the Chi of Karis. So comes along Amar Rabbi Yochran, Chalukin Alav Chaverav, Al Rabbi Hanania ben Gamliel. Many argue on this and say that no, Malkos, receiving Malkos, does not release the guy from the Karis. So Amar Rava says, Amri Bei Rav Tanina, we have a mission that says, Ein Ben Yom HaKippurim LeShabbos, El Shezezi Donam Bidi Adam, Vezezi Donam Bidi Akaris. There's only one difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and that's the punishment. Now, if it's really true that Yom Kippur could get Malkos, that Malkos could really substitute for Karis, so Vim Isa, Idiv Idiv Bidi Adamu. Yom Kippur also is a punishment that a person could get Bidei Adam. He could get Malkos instead of Karis. So they should really both be equated, that they're both Bidei Adam. It shouldn't be a difference anymore. So it must be, since the Mishnah doesn't mention this distinction, it must be that Malkos does not release a guy from the Chi of Karis he might have. So Amar Rav Nachman says, Hamani, who is this? It's Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar Malkos B'chai V'kris is Leka. No, Rabbi Yitzchak is the one who authored this Mishnah. He holds that Malkos does not redeem a guy from his krisis. Detani Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chai V'kris is Bechlal Hayu. V'lamu Yatsas Karis B'achosa, Laduna B'karis. We know that all their rios is Chai V'karis. So why do they single out Achosa, that sister should have Karis as well? To tell me, Laduna B'karis V'lo B'malkos, to exclude Karis Malkos. Malkos does not work to exempt someone from receiving Karis. So Rabbi Yitzchak holds that way. So there's a Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not Malkos is going to release a person from Karis or not. So our Mishnah assumes that Yom Kippur cannot, one who violates Yom Kippur will not and cannot get Malkos instead of Karis. But comes along Rashi says a very simple answer. Amar Afilu Teim Rabbanan. No, even the Rabbanan could have authored our Mishnah. The Rabbanan who hold that if a person does get Malkos, the Malkos will redeem him from the Karis. Ah, so shouldn't our Mishnah say that Yom Kippur is also Bidei Adam? That a person who violates Yom Kippur could also get Malkos? No, because Zeh Iker Zidona Bidei Adam, Zeh Iker Zidona Bidei Karis. And the Mishnah is referring to what's the Iker, what's the primary punishment a person should get? For Shabbos, it's Bidei Adam. For Yom Kippur, it's Bekaris. And Yechanami, if a guy gets Malkos for Yom Kippur also, he'd be potter from Karis, but the Iker punishment for Yom Kippur violating Yom Kippur is going to be Karis. Okay.